This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. This is the primetime version, and for those who listen in the mornings, we were preempted this morning, but we're listening to Mark Ballard now. This is our Thursday tradition here on Talk Louisiana, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate, and we're getting close to Inauguration Day. It'll be 1 month from tomorrow, January 13th, and LSU fans believe the Fighting Tigers will be playing for the national championship in New Orleans on the same night at the Superdome, and it could be quite a January 13th, Mark Ballard.
Yeah, it should be. I don't want to jinx it by suggesting that it's a lock that they'll be there on January the 13th. You know, I just will say we're hopeful for that. That's the best we can go with. But basically, we're going to have an inauguration in the afternoon or late morning, early afternoon for Governor John Bel Edwards. And then he's decided to forego any, balls or ceremonies or that sort of thing, and basically allow everybody to, and a lot of legislators have, stepped up to get their, to buy their tickets for this and allow them to go to New Orleans for the championship game.
Well, he is a big LSU fan, as we know, the governor, and a former quarterback, and LSU's quarterback, Joe Burrow, is poised to get the Heisman, the first LSU player to do so in 60 years, since Billy Ab Cannon did in the year of 1959. And LSU is a 13-point favorite over Oklahoma, December 28th in Atlanta. And if they win that game, the Tigers will go to New Orleans and play either Clemson or Ohio State. And it's curious that the three teams remaining in contention for the national title are Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, and those are the three teams LSU defeated, respectively, in 1958, 2003, 2007, to win national championships. But I would imagine it'll be a very short inauguration speech if LSU's playing that night, because there will be a lot of burning rubber out of the parking lot at the Capitol, Mark Ballard, to get to the Crescent City.
Well, certainly. Yeah, two things I want to mention here is I believe that well, today we're going to find out from the Revenue Estimating Conference just how much money is available for the executive budget. The governor says he wants to pour more money into higher education, and, of course, a lot of the money will be going into the Rainy Day Fund and to help pay down the debt that we have in our pension system. And I imagine he'll be bringing that up, which is going to be interesting, because a lot of the Republicans are saying, look, because of the size of the surplus, about $500 million, that we ought to be attacking taxes instead. And so I imagine that that inauguration speech is going to kind of lay that out.
The governor took the oath the first time, January 11th of 2015, and before he even went to the podium at the Capitol, he had suffered a severe defeat, and it turned out to be a significant one. Walt Leger, his choice to be speaker, was defeated by Taylor Barra. And this time, the governor apparently won't even have a horse in the race. The Republicans, led by John Neely Kennedy and Jeff Landry, are saying, ignore the governor, just do your things. We've got the numbers, and the governor can take it down the road and lump it.
Well, yeah, and their letter kind of points out what a lot of Republicans feel, and that is that should we follow this kind of right-wing economic policy that they feel was not fully followed during the Jindal years. And now they have the numbers. They say, well, we can do it without any involvement of the Democrats, regardless of what the Democrats may say. And I think that's going to be the defining issues and fights over the next couple of years anyway in the legislature.
Well, it's going to be a case in which the governor is a Democrat, the legislature is Republican. John Ilario will no longer be there in the Senate to provide cover for the governor, and the House was never an ally. And the governor, he's like the dog who chases the car. He may have gotten more than he bargained for, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite a fight. They are not going to be you're not going to have the brakes being tapped quite as much in the Senate as you had during the last 4 years. But, I mean, I still think that there will be some sort of brake tapping going on in the Senate. It'll be far more conservative, but it's going to be very difficult for the senators to come up with a two-thirds majority to overturn a veto.
Well, the shadow governors are Jeff Flandre and John Kennedy. They lead a PAC that help elect several members of the state house, and both of these gentlemen, as we know, are political animals. Flandre is quite likely running for governor in 2023, and Kennedy is probably going to run for re-election to the Senate in 2022, but he wants to be a kingmaker, and he has his fingers in a lot of pies, and he's unafraid to get involved in state politics. So with Flandre and Kennedy on the outskirts causing the governor some grief, does that create more of an obstacle than perhaps other governors have faced?
Well, I think in the first year or so, we're going to see that the Governor Edwards has a lot more political capital than he's going to have in the final couple of years as we get closer to the next election. Jeff Flandre certainly has done everything he can to slow down any progress by the Democratic governor, and I suspect he'll do the same.
I remember when I first started covering the Capitol, probably around the same time as you, Mark, there were only a handful of Republicans in both chambers, and now it's just phenomenal, 68 in the House and, 27 in the Senate, I believe. So that'd be 95 of the 144 members are Republicans. What happened?
Well, I think there was a very definite shift. First off, I think a lot of the Democrats back in the day were Democrats primarily because they were the majority party. And so they may have had conservative leanings, but they were Democrats because that was politically what they needed to do. And Ronald Reagan and a shift towards more conservative Republicans actually winning, you saw that we're ending up with more Republicans. We also have the cities in the state are clearly very democratically oriented, but they're still outnumbered by the people who live in the rural areas. And I guess the swing votes are now in the suburbs, which had been dominantly Republican up until the last election.
Well, back in the day when the Republicans were scarce, the two U.S. senators in Louisiana were Russell Long and Bennett Johnston, and they didn't get involved at all in state politics. They were too busy tending to action on the Hill. But John Kennedy, not only is he ubiquitous presence on these cable shows, but he shows up in Baton Rouge, goes to the press club a couple of times a year, and obviously is making calls to lawmakers.
Well, and he's following. I mean, you mentioned Russell Long and Bennett Johnson and John Breaux, for that matter, very conservatives, but Democrats. That changed significantly under Senator Vitter when he was up there, and he kept a finger on the local politics and was very much involved in local politics. And I think that John Kennedy, who owes his position to David Vitter's intervention in local politics, is doing pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, he is definitely a Vitter acolyte, John Neely Kennedy. And Vitter, as we know, he had an ulterior reason. He wanted to be governor of Louisiana. And Kennedy, the clock is not working for him. He's 68 years old, which would mean he'd be 72 by the time the next governor's election rolls around, and there'll be a lot of Republicans running. But he's, I would think, going to run for re-election when he's 71 to the Senate, and then who knows what. He may be on the ballot as president in the year of 2024. But this man who was born in Centerville, Mississippi, Mark, he's shown a propensity to get involved, and he's always been on the outskirts causing some grief for governors, even when it was a Republican. And Bobby Jindal, Kennedy was his biggest naysayer.
I think that the Kennedy was the guy that first brought up a lot of the questions about Governor Jindal's budgeting techniques, and he was the one that really raised the criticism back in a time when the Republicans did not criticize Governor Jindal at all. He was the first one, and he kept at it and well, we see what happened to it in the end. As far as his age goes, remember, we're running the main candidates for president are all in their 70s. And so I think that 70 years old is not what it used to be.
Well, you're right about that. Other than Pete Buttigieg, all the candidates that are the primary contenders right now, four Democrats, Biden, Warren, Sanders, and Bloomberg, and one Republican, Trump, they're all over the age of 70. So it is a different time. And John Kennedy, he said at the press club before he spoke a few months ago, he said that he goes to that gym that the senators have. And by the way, only senators are allowed, not staff, not House members, not family members, just senators. And he says quite often he's the only guy in there. Can you imagine that? John Neely Kennedy. Maybe he's staying fit because he wants to run. And as we know, Mark, he likes to run. He's run for office a lot. Going back to 1991 when he ran unsuccessfully for attorney general, he's been around a long time and looks like he's got some gas left in the tank.
I missed part of that. My phone kind of dipped.
That's okay.
Well,
I was pontificating about John Neely Kennedy, and it's about time to let you get back to the Capitol work. But I did want to commend you, Kathleen Ritchie, our previous guest, said that you have been a volunteer for CASA, and with all the other things you've got going in your life, Mark, I don't know how you found time to do it, but that's a worthy organization, and thanks for your service beyond your service as an exemplary and exceptional journalist.
It's a very important organization. I recommend everybody volunteer for it.
Well, thank you, Mark Ballard. We'll call you next week and let you get back to work. Always a pleasure. And we'll be back with more Talk Louisiana after this timeout.